Making the world a better place one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right. Thank you. Thanks. All right. Welcome to the George. Okay. All right. That's enough. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. Thank you so much for tuning in to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I'm so excited. Oh, man, it feels like summer. We were out earlier today, and it was just awesome. It was just magnificent. I mean, it was just beautiful. And I'm hearing that it's going to be a lot worse in the coming days. Rain, cloudiness, gray, but hey, enjoy it while we have it, right? And I hope wherever you are in the world that you're having some great weather too. And once again, I want to thank you for listening in and tuning in, podcasting the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It's become a staple. So far, it's a staple. And I'm very proud of the fact that I've lingered around and hung around for so long. And I've had offers, believe me, I've had offers to leave Block Talk Radio, come over to someplace else. I've had offers for sponsors who want to do things on the show. That might happen at some point. So get ready for that. Commercials, right? All right, it's the way you make money. The way you can make some real money by, putting sponsors on your show, especially if they know, if you can give them a reason for wanting to do that, especially targeting your audience, your listeners. And that should be interesting. That's going to happen in the near future, sometime maybe this year, early next year. And we'll just have to see how that plays out. Okay, my guest today is Lisa Lintel. Okay, I could be pronouncing that wrong because it's spelled weirdly. We'll see where that goes. All right, one other thing I want to say. Well, that's a lot of things I want to say. Be nice to one another out there. It doesn't take that much energy to be nice to someone, to give a little your time and effort to someone to try to make their lives a little bit better, especially if it's warranted. And, just be nice to one another. Stop being mean and angry and upset at folks. And, it's easy. Oh, yeah, and I'm so glad you tuned into the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I know that I've had all kinds of accolades on the show. I've had people say nice things about the show. I've had people say nice things about the show, and even though they said that they it's okay, let me put it this way. I've had complaints about, George, you're using too much bad language on their show. I don't think I'm using a lot of bad language, but sometimes you get so passionate on your show and you're so determined, and you have this drive, and something's going on in the world that's not right, And yeah, sometimes I do use a swear. Sometimes I cuss, whatever word you want to use on the show. But, you know, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one that uses bad language on their show. But I understand some people don't like that. Then you got some people who don't give a damn. Then you got people who tune in to hear you use bad language. I guess I adopted some of my bad language on the show from Bill Maher. If you ever seen the Bill Maher show, this guy curses up a storm on his show. I mean, when I first tuned into his show, I was shocked to hear all the bad words that you hear young people using on the street corners. Not only Bill Maher, but a lot of the shows on cable, the talk shows, the television shows, a lot of these people use bad language. I mean, shows like Oprah and Ellen and Steve Martin, Steve Harvey, excuse me. You don't hear bad language, you know, but I mean, tune into cable television, the talk shows on cable television. You're going to be blown away at some of the bad language that they use. And they don't lose any listeners because of it, because, you know, using foul language sometimes, you know, a lot of people out there can deal with it and some people can't, and I respect both sides. But using foul language is a part of America. It's part of America. It's what we do. I mean, I can go on Facebook and every one of my friends and every one of my posters using foul language is something they don't like. I mean, sometimes I use foul language on Facebook, but that doesn't mean I'm going to lose 1,000 friends, because it's just a part of Americana, foul language, cursing, but there's a way you can use foul language and be respectful to other people. Yeah, I use it on the show. Sometimes I use it not realizing that I've said it, because I've been so passionate about whatever I'm talking about or speaking about, you know, and there's other people who use it. And I respect people who say, George, you use too much foul language on your show. Actually, if you think about it, I just started using it. I haven't been using it. It's just that it just started and it's just passionate. Will I give it up? No, I will not give up using foul language on the show, especially if I think it's warranted. There's people out here who say, well, George, I'm not going to listen to your show no more because you curse. Well, then, bye-bye. I mean, this is what this show is all about. You know, I mean, you know, so I understand people who would turn the show off or who would criticize the show because of the foul language. There's a ton of podcasts. I mean, more than a ton, zillions of podcasts out there, out here. There's zillions of other radio shows. There's just zillions of other radio shows that you can get on and talk about your book or whatever product you might have. Not always the George Wilder Jr. show. I mean, majority of the time, people will, before they come on the show, they're going to listen to the show. And, you know, and they're going to make their decision to come on the show by just listening to the show and figuring out if this is the right kind of thing that they want to do, if this is the right kind of spot that they want to talk about their book or whatever product they might be pitching on the George Wilder Jr. show. If they can't find it, if this is not the show for them, there's tons of others out here who are doing the same thing as I'm doing, podcasting, radio show. And you have to find your niche, you know, just like this show might not be for you, but the next show down the road might be. So, and I'm going to warn you in advance, a majority of these shows are using or will be using foul language because, you know, I mean, No. I'm not saying that every word that's going to be coming out of the radio host's mouth is going to be a bad word or a foul language. No, that's not going to happen, at least not in this show. But once in a while, I may blurp it out. I may blurp it out a bad word two or three times into the show, but it's not going to be every word that's coming out of my mouth. That would be bad. That's something I wouldn't tolerate. I've had callers call into the show, and the first thing out of their mouths was an awful bad word, bad language, you know. And I did not cut them off. I let them go ahead on. But once it starts to get too much, then I'll just click the off button. And I'll apologize to my listeners for this individual and their bad mouth. But, you know, the times have changing. This is 2018, 2017, soon to be 2018 in 6 or 7 months. And times are changing, and people's tastes are changing. Just because you hear foul language on the show doesn't make this a bad show, doesn't make it a bad interview. Doesn't say that you can't have your friends or your family listening to the show because there's foul language, because there's not that much foul language. I'm going to say maybe 3 or 4 words that's on the show may be a little foul. But I can point you to a number of other radio shows, television shows, where the foul language is just off the hook. And you would never hear that on the George Wilder Jr. show, because you know, you won't. But if you catch me being passionate about something I'm talking about, or something that is not right in the world, or anything, or something that I may vehemently disagree with, yeah, I might use a bad word here or there. But it's not going to be an ongoing thing. My show will not be peppered with bad language. And I'm just giving you forewarning up front that I may blurt out a bad word. And I know some people out there will be offended. Well, I can't help that. It's how I feel. It's how I felt at the time that I used the profanity. I mean, I was brought up in a family with nothing but profanity. And I don't know way to, maybe it's in my genes, right? I don't know use profanity as I was raised and brought up around people. Cursing was the norm. I mean, that was the norm. I mean, it was very, very the norm, you know. But when I was young, even I was all around bad language, like I said, but I don't think I've ever adopted any of that type of language because I had a feeling that it was wrong. But I didn't make any waves about that. But, you know, foul language is foul language. This is 2017, and it's going to be said. And a lot of people, when you're using foul language, a lot of people just gloss over it. You know, they just say, hey, wow, you said motherfucker. You know, a lot of people will just go, oh, well, okay, all right. You know, but then there's some people who will get grossly offended, you know, and to those people, I apologize. But that's not going to stop me from being passionate and saying what I want to say, even if that's a curse word. You just have to go somewhere else. Listen to somebody else instead of the George Wilder Jr. show. And that's fine. That's fine. My show is not for everybody. This, I consider my show a family show more than I consider it a political talk show. Politics is just one of the things that we talk about on the show. It's not something that I want to talk about all the time, but I look at the world that we live in, and I just feel that I have a voice, and I have to make my feelings and my intentions known, especially if I'm seeing, hearing, and reading that's questionable. And then I may use a bad word to may describe it on the show, but that's no reason for you to turn it off, you know, but that's up to you. All right, we've been talking about foul language on the George Wilder Jr. show. I mean, I like I said before, my show is not peppered with any kind of foul language, but there's 3 or 4 words down the road or something that I will use it. I will use it. I will tell something I'm talking about. And most of the time, I am passionate I am passionate, and look out, I'm going to say a bad word, and you're not going to expect it, and you're going to say, oh my God, he said a bad word, he done cursed, you know, so, but that's, you know, that's something to be expected. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Once again, my guest is Lisa Lintel, and we're going to have plenty of commentary on the show. Because that's what it's all about. It's a talk show, and it's about making the world a better place. And Donald Trump, I'm going to say something about Donald Trump, because this guy makes me use foul language. I think he makes all of us use, most of us use foul language. But anyway, he's, as you know, there's been a special prosecutor named to the investigations into Team Donald Trump. And he's pissed off about that. He's, you know, I mean, this proves once and for all that he actually did obstruct investigation into the investigation into his White House. He did do that. There's no doubt about it. He's lying if he say he didn't. And today he said he did not, because a reporter asked him, did you ask James Comey, the person he fired, did you ask him to look the other way on the election? And Donald Trump said, no, no. Next question. He is a bully. He can't stop being a bully. He cannot stop being a bully. And I posted something online. I said, you know, this guy, matter of fact, someone else said this online too, but and I kind of just doubled up on it, said that if Donald Trump resigns, if he gets impeached, he's going to walk away saying that he's a winner. And you get that feeling that he will say that. But most people are saying that we know that. He's going to call himself a winner. But as long as he's walking away, giving up that office, quitting, getting impeached, we don't care. He can call himself anything he wants. But I guess what I'm saying is Donald Trump is just that arrogant. He's just that arrogant to say that he won this thing. Now he's, to me, he's now that we have a special prosecutor in the name of Robert Mueller to look into this, because he fired the other guy who was looking into the investigation into Russia, tampering with the 2016 elections. You know, he seemed like to me now he's trying to obstruct this new, the special prosecutor, by saying we don't need a prosecutor, that this is dividing the country. No, it's not. This special counsel, this special prosecutor is not dividing the country. If anything, he's bringing the country together, because a lot of the country wants to get rid of Donald Trump, passing secrets to the Russians, inviting the Russians into a room and not inviting the Russian press, but keeping banning the American press. That's crazy, from this room. So that the American press can't hear what he's saying or report on him passing on secrets to the Russians. This man is dangerous. And he's one of the people who make me want to use bad language. All righty, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Once again, my guest is author Lisa Lintel, L-E-I-T-L. Okay. The George Wilder Jr. Show is on the air. Be nice to one another out there. Changing how we think requires that we think for a change. That sounds pretty good.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, and we are helping to make the world a better place, one show at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding the show, downloading the show, and just having a great time. Here we go.
another example of why you just cannot make this stuff up. Now, when Russian officials visited the White House last week, the new guy decided, hey, I'm going to share some classified information about ISIS with them. We got this information from a highly sensitive source. Now, do you remember the way he felt about, I don't know, say Hillary, and classified information? Because MSNBC reminded everybody this morning. Do take a look.
She lied about passing on classified information, right? In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information. She said she sent nothing more classified. A total lie. We can't have someone in the Oval Office who doesn't understand the meaning of the word confidential or classified. Put classified information in the reach of our enemies. They're so classified, they're beyond classified. And maybe classified at the highest level.
So now he defended himself in a tweet this morning. Saying he has
in a tweet.
I know. You can't just doesn't get any better than this. And it says he has absolute right to do that. And apparently he does.
Yeah.
But one wonders, like, if you are the new guy and you got a pile of papers and they say classified, you then as president can say, well, I'm declassifying this and I'm going to tell you everything that's in it. Yeah. Now, nobody is there saying, well, hold up a second, because this is why we've deemed this classified. So what is the real issue here?
Well, that Russia doesn't have to work so hard to discover anything. We'll just tell them. Like, they used to have to hack us.
I don't think that that the people who created our government expected to have a blabbermouth in the White House. It's like Ralph Cramden,
yes,
you know?
I remember that.
You're a blabbermouth. Yeah. He opens it. They didn't expect that. So they expected the president to have the wherewithal to not say something like that to the so-called enemies. Right. Certainly
his
rivals.
Justification for this is that we are partners with Russia on the issue of combating ISIS.
We are on with Russia, we're off with Russia.
Issue of combating terrorism, the reason Russia's complicated is because, as we know, Russia is fueling Assad over
well,
in Syria,
yeah, that's
which
the
is
issue.
A massive genocide. So my question was not whether or not he has the right to share this classified information. He's president, and what you said before is correct. He has the right to classify stuff and at will share it. My concern was, do you trust Russia with that information? Because Russia may be our ally, you know, I use that very, very lightly, on the issue of combating terrorism, but they're certainly not our ally in other areas, and you don't want them to necessarily know how we get our intel and what that looks like that they could then use against us and our, you know, in other regions of the world.
I just don't understand how you share classified information with...
He declassified it.
Well, some people say he didn't even declassify
it. Well, he said this ain't classified no more.
Yeah, he read
I don't understand how you share it with the very country that your country is investigating for collusion with your administration.
But
I don't understand. One other thing is that, you know, Dave Chappelle says that he regrets telling people to give Trump a chance on SNL. Remember that famous monologue where he said, I'm wishing Donald Trump luck, I'm going to give him a chance, and we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he gives us one too. And I was on the same page with that during our special election night. When Candace Cameron Bure said that she had voted for Trump, I was like, you know what, he's my president now, I'm going to give him a chance. I am scared to death
The question is, when will the Republican Party turn on him? I mean, they are suddenly, there's a few rumblings. For instance, I read this morning that Ann Coulter has turned on him. She called him grotesque.
Yeah.
Now, last week she was on the show. She wrote a book called In Trump We Trust.
Yes, she
Not,
did.
The next book will be, I changed my mind. In Trump I Don't Trust.
Well, and he
changed. Wait a second. And there was something about, on a Morning Joe, saying that Kellyanne Conway, behind the scenes, was saying, I have to take a shower after I'm with Trump. And then she goes out there and you know, lies for him. Omarosa, you're next, baby.
What he did also potentially jeopardize another country and or officers on the ground, people that are doing undercover work.
Yes.
it might have compromised the mission itself, and it also compromised any future intel, people's willingness to share information if you know you have someone loose-lipped in an office.
The blood is on your hands. That's all I'm saying.
It puts people's lives in danger. We don't know what he said. I don't know what he said in that meeting.
Remember Valerie Plame? Remember when she was
CIA.
We didn't know what kind of danger, but we knew she was in danger. Mm-hmm. When you give people information that they would not normally have, that you keep close to your vest, and suddenly you're telling everybody, it endangers everyone. It endangers the person who's saying, listen, I just need to let you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It endangers these guys who are surreptitiously going through trying to make sure that you don't see them trying to protect stuff. It potentially is dangerous to those who are fighting to keep our
But we know it's even bigger than that, though. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to all of us because it's being reported that he shared with Russia this information about terrorist attacks on airplanes, right? And so if that country that gave us that information is no longer willing to share intelligence with us, every time I put my kid on the plane, then he or she is in danger. All of us are in danger because of what this
is. But the first... You know, listen, the truth of the matter is we're in danger on those planes no matter what, okay? We're in danger no matter what. But my feeling is the people who are working their tails off in these little bitty countries who are trying to, like, make sure everything is straight, everything is right, you know, they're not getting paid all that well. Yep. Our military is not paid all that well. And you see how we treat folks when they come back.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that if military folks are giving us information from other countries, I want to make sure that we take care of them.
Yeah.
But if you recall, months and months ago, they're talking about Dave Chappelle changing his mind about him. Well, he was a blabbermouth then. He gave out Lindsey Graham's phone number.
That's
Remember that? He can't help himself. He wants everyone to love him, to like
don't
him.
You wanna,
the Russians, he wants them to like
don't
him
you
and
you
see
want to
how smart he
your president,
is.
Though? Don't you want to feel confident that your president is
You know what? Let me tell you something about support.
He's a man, baby.
Let me tell you about support. I don't have a lot of respect for a president who starts out telling me how bad my neighbors are. I don't like that. I don't like when you put people in power who you know have racist leanings. You know that they are talking about us as Americans, not as Americans, but as the color of our skin or however we come. I don't have a lot of
background.
And I couldn't and have not from the very giddy-up. Because for me, a president, whether I vote for him or not, has to see me as an American, first and foremost, not as my color, not as my religion, not as my gender. And, you know, I have a lot of, I know people who voted for him who are going, well, this isn't what I kind of set on. And that's why we all have to really be careful when we give a vote out.
Well, national security was a huge point of issue on this campaign, from the wall to other things.
Yeah.
The people that voted for him and supported those things were going for safety.
There we go.
Now you've got a man that just compromised an ally
our
that said,
safety.
You share it even within our government.
There you go.
It's a problem.
Yes.
And she said it. He's and we're going to let that linger with you.
He's a man, baby.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away, but we have to get out here and fight the good fight, you know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently, so let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently.
Donald Trump spent most of Wednesday completely avoiding Twitter after the Comey memo news broke on Tuesday evening. Everybody was expecting him to come out, say something, but he showed an uncharacteristic restraint on Wednesday. All that went out the door, though, Thursday morning when he took to Twitter following Wednesday evening's announcement that Robert Mueller, former FBI director, was going to be the special prosecutor into the Russian probe. Thursday morning, Donald Trump gets on Twitter and says this is the single greatest witch hunt in politics in American history. The single greatest witch hunt. He then went on to lament the fact that even though there were countless illegal acts from Barack Obama during his presidency, from Hillary Clinton during her campaign, and from the former Clinton administration, there was never a special prosecutor appointed to look into that stuff. Worth noting here, really, there were no illegal activities from Hillary Clinton's campaign, her personal campaign, or during the presidency of Barack Obama. And believe me, Mr. Trump, Republicans tried relentlessly to pin something on Obama. They persecuted Hillary Clinton over the Benghazi thing, countless hearings, wasted millions of dollars in tax money. So no, you have not been the victim of the biggest political witch hunt. I think the former president and former Democratic candidate for president have a lot more in their history of being persecuted than you ever will. But the story gets a little deeper than just Donald Trump's ridiculous Twitter. Yesterday, during a speech, I believe it was to the Coast Guard Academy, Donald Trump said that never in the history of the United States has any president faced as much criticism as Donald Trump has. Nobody has been treated as poorly as Donald Trump has as president. Now, I can't say for sure because they've passed on, but I'm pretty sure that those presidents who got shot in the head would disagree with you on that one, Donald Trump, not to mention the other ones who were shot while in office. But I digress. Here's the thing. Donald Trump right now is terrified about what's happening within his administration. He understands that he can no longer duck and cover from the countless scandals that he has been involved in the less than 120 days that he has been president. And now he's freaking out, and so he wants to make it, again, all about him being persecuted. This isn't about anything he did wrong. It's about people just being mean in the eyes of Donald Trump. And that could not be further from the truth. Yeah, people have gone after him pretty hard, and there have been some personal attacks that were out of line against Donald Trump. But considering the things that this man said during his campaign, considering how he bragged in that Access Hollywood tape about essentially sexually assaulting women, there's no sympathy for this man. Oh, you feel persecuted? I think Tina Dupuy said it best on Twitter when she said, yeah, it's almost as bad as being a woman. And that's what you've done your whole life, Donald Trump. You've victimized everybody else while playing the victim yourself. Well, it's not going to fly anymore. That's why we have this special prosecutor. That's why James Comey came out with that memo. They're all coming for you, and not because they just personally dislike you, but because they're terrified of the direction that this country is heading in under your leadership.
So,
you are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was a diatribe on Donald Trump, and he is still in the news, folks. And I want to stop talking about this guy, but I don't think I can. Will be able to, because he is making news every day, all the time, and it is so true that Donald Trump is. excuse me. Donald Trump is definitely a blabbermouth. He doesn't know how to keep a secret. He doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut, and his mouth is incriminating him. I mean, I'm pretty sure his lawyers are telling him, Donald, you're on an investigation. Talk as little as you can. Don't say things. Don't say this. Don't say that. Talk as little as you can. You will be persecuted. Donald gets out there in front of that camera and just goes. He just goes. He would be a lawyer's worst nightmare because Donald Trump doesn't know how to be quiet and shut up. Because his latest diatribe is saying that we don't need no special prosecutor after we have a special prosecutor. To me, that's somewhat obstructing the obstruction of justice number two, because he's saying, we don't need you, man. Go leave. And this kind of puts a seal on the first obstruction of justice when Comey wrote that memo saying that Donald Trump asked him to let this go. He said it. He did it because he just admitted that he'd done it. If you follow my drift, he just admitted it by trying to obstruct the second investigation involving a special prosecutor, Robert Mueller. And I'm pretty sure Robert Mueller is not going to be intimidated or bullied or disrespected by Donald Trump because Donald Trump doesn't like what he's doing, about to do. I mean, any president with any brains would accept an investigation into their administration. They would accept it. Matter of fact, they would probably help as much as they can with it so they can get it over with, so he can start, this president, whoever, can start governing the country, being a leader, but not Donald Trump. He comes in and he tells you that he doesn't like it. And if he doesn't like it, he may even fire the special prosecutor, because the special prosecutor is under him out of the Justice Department. Donald Trump could fire this guy. He could. And if he does, his fate is totally, he will not be good anymore if he fires Robert Mueller like he did James Comey, firing two FBI directors who are investigating him and his White House. That could happen. Sometimes I feel that could happen by this latest speech that he gave, saying that Robert Mueller, his being special prosecutor, is dividing the country, which it's not doing. The only thing that's dividing this country is Donald Trump himself. Donald Trump himself. There is so many scandals surrounding this guy. And I'm talking about scandals that goes back before he even became president of the United States. Yeah, he lucked out on becoming president of the United States. That's no doubt about it. He lucked out. A lot of people voted for him because they believed in what he was saying during the campaign. But a lot of people now see where Donald Trump is right now, currently, and they're saying, I didn't vote for this. I didn't know this was going to happen. And there are people who are changing their minds about Donald Trump every single day. This is true. They are changing their minds, their thoughts, their feelings about him. They want their vote back, but it's too late. They didn't foresee any of this. They voted for Donald Trump because he promised them that he will build a wall to keep illegal Mexicans out. They voted for Donald Trump because he said he was going to lock up Hillary Clinton. They voted for Donald Trump because he said he was going to repeal Obamacare. So far, none of this and other things have not happened. Obamacare is still here until the Senate votes on it sometimes this year or next year. It's still here. It is not gone. You can still use it. You can still benefit from Obamacare until the Senate does what it has to do, pass it. And then after the Senate passes Obamacare or whatever they call it, Trump Care, it goes to the president's desk and Trump signs it and it becomes law. But until then, Obamacare is still here. So therefore, he has not repealed anything so far. He said on day one that when he took office, he was going to repeal Obamacare. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that fast. He cannot just think he can give an executive order and it's over. That's not going to happen. He has to go through a legislative process, and he's learning that now. But those were his three signature campaign promises that took him over the top. And none of it has, he's been in, how long has he been in office now? 120 something days. And he still hasn't those things are still in place. I'm not saying that he won't repeal them down the road, but as of now, nothing. There's been too many scandals into Trump's White House. And obstruction of justice will get him impeached, get him thrown out of office. But like I said before, I think if Trump is thrown out of office, he's going to look at it as a victory. This is just how victorious this guy is. He's going to see it as a victory, as a being a winner. But a lot of us are saying, well, he can see being thrown out of office any way he can, as long as he's gone. So it's a mess, folks. And the George Wilder Jr. Show is dead on the case. You know, this show is not about Donald Trump. It's not about politics. But however, you know, we live in a world where we have to pay attention to what's going on. We have to be a part of what's going on. We just cannot sit back and just talk about it anymore. We have to get up off our asses and do something about it. We have to do something about it. We have to take action. It seems like the Republicans in Congress are trying to, you know, grow a spine. They're trying to grow a spine because they themselves are saying enough of Donald Trump is enough of Donald Trump. They're trying to grow a spine after we the people kicked them up their butts and made them act on this guy. They didn't do it on themselves. They didn't do it for themselves. They did it because their constituencies were out there screaming and yelling at them and saying that we're going to vote your butt out of office if you don't do the right thing and get Donald Trump out of office. Now they agreed to a special prosecutor only because of their constituency and the threat of them losing their jobs and losing the House of Representatives to the Democrats. And I think no matter how the Republicans may come across, I think the Democrats are still going to win the House because I don't think the Senate is in play here. The House is so easily to become in play because these guys, 435 representatives in Congress, they are elected every 2 years. The senators in Congress, they are elected every 6 years. So we may have to just concentrate on the House itself. And also the governorships. I think there's 14 governorships that's going to be up November 2016. So we have to do that too. I think that the governorships are of vital importance. We got too many Republican governors around the United States who are just wreaking havoc on their states. We got one right here in the state of Illinois, Bruce Rauner. This guy is wreaking havoc on the state. He's got commercial. He's running for reelection. Can you really get to that? I mean, we haven't had a budget in almost 3 years, 3 years. And this guy is going around saying that how great he is for Illinois. And again, that ain't going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. I didn't vote for him in the first place, but there are some people out there here. A lot of people were just pissed off at the Democrats and they voted Republican. And they found out that the Republicans are a lot worse than any Democrat, you know, and they're going to tie Bruce Rauner to Donald Trump like they did last time, but it didn't work. But it may work this time. Bruce Rauner, especially because we don't have a budget. And a lot of people in the state of Illinois are pissed off about that. We don't have a budget. For 3 years, there has been no budget. And Bruce Rauner's been playing games. Social services are closing down or have closed down because of lack of funds, no money coming in. Chicago public schools are teetering on bankruptcy if they're not already bankrupt. After the summer vacation, we don't even know if the schools are going to be operating or they're going to open up again. We don't know. There's no money. I think there's almost $600 million that's to the Chicago public schools. And I do think that they're not going to get anything, not from this governor. He's steadfast. He was voted in to make Illinois better than it was. And it's just gotten worse under him. And it's going to keep getting worse. He wants to run again. This is crazy. He has to be smoking something if he thinks he's going to get elected again. I don't understand that. And it's just as bad in Illinois as it is in Washington. We have no budget. We have a legislature, a Democratic legislature. They're not moving either. If you think about it, the blame can be spread around. But, you know, the bulk of the blame is going to go on Bruce Rauner because he's the governor and he can have a budget in the next 2-3 hours if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to. He's going around blaming other people and giving excuses and coming up with all kind of spin to not do his job. So we're going to vote him out. I want him to know that the George Wilder Jr. Show says that we're going to vote him out and he will not be governor again anytime for the state of Illinois. I mean, if you look at it, this two people are running the state of Illinois. That's Bruce Rauner and his rich buddy, billionaire, Ken Griffin. Ken Griffin just gave Bruce Rauner $20 million. $20 million. And Bruce Rauner, from my understanding, put in $50 million of his own for this campaign of governor in the state of Illinois for 2018. Now, yeah, they're rich. Yes, they have a lot of money. That gives them a lot of leeway. But you have to understand, they have to understand, it's not always money. There have been so many politicians, billionaire politicians, who ran for elections, had lots of money, and they lost. This is what's going to happen to Bruce Rauner and Ken Griffin, these two scoundrels who want to control Illinois. I mean, they want to control Illinois. They don't want to govern. They want absolute control over this state because they're rich. They're billionaires, so they know more than what we know. Bruce Rauner thinking he's going to run again in Illinois and screw up this state some more. Because, you know what, Bruce Rauner just laughing at us. He's just laughing at us. He's just laughing his ass off at all of us. Because he feels like he's going to win in 2018 when he has devoured this state. So far, and he wants to devour it some more. And I urge people, do not listen to those commercials that he's smiling and grinning and talking about duct taping this and duct taping that. That's a bunch of malarkey. Don't be fooled twice. You were fooled once. Don't be fooled twice, people of Illinois. Don't be fooled twice. This guy is for the rich, just like all Republicans. They're for the rich, and he's no different. He is no, Illinois is in, I don't know, billions of dollars in debt. This state owes everybody. It's a damn shame that this Republican governor refuses to pay the state's bills. The state is obligated to pay its bills, but this guy refuses to pay the state's bills. It's plunging this state's credit rating into the sewer, and he doesn't give a damn. He does not care. and he wants to be elected again. No way. I don't give a care if this guy's got $1 trillion. People of the Illinois know that this is not the right way to go this time. We were fooled once. Folks, of the people of Illinois, don't let this guy fool you again. If you work, got a job, if you're the middle class, Rauner should not be the way that you want to go. Because you can see how he's screwed up so far. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's 6:53 p.m. in the city of Chicago. It is beautiful. It's still beautiful. They're talking about it being kind of cold tomorrow. Well, we'll be off the air tomorrow because I want to take off and do some writing, do some thinking. We've got to run some errands, do some things. Yeah, we got work to do. So we'll be back Monday. But still in all, we got about 30 more minutes left into the show. And it's beautiful. It's summer, folks, in the city of Chicago. I think tomorrow it's going to go back to spring or winter because they're saying it's going to be colder. And it's just wonderful. I just love doing the show. I love that you're out there. I love you podcasting the show. I love your input, whether it's positive or negative. I love your input. And this show will always be here until I decide it will not be here. But we might, like I said before, we might start taking sponsorships, having commercials. Now, I hate commercials. I mean, I think they just interrupt you when you focused on whatever you focused on. But, things change and things change. Am I right? All right. Staying young. We did that yesterday. Let's try domestic violence. That's one of the things that this show trying to eradicate is domestic violence. But if you are a victim of domestic violence, then it's up to you to get out, if I can say it. I think my teeth are getting in the way. It's up to you to get out of the situation.
I'm here today to talk about a disturbing question, which has an equally disturbing answer. My topic is the secrets of domestic violence. And the question I'm going to tackle is the one question everyone always asks. Why does she stay? Why would anyone stay with a man who beats her? I'm not a psychiatrist, a social worker, or an expert in domestic violence. I'm just one woman with a story to tell. I was 22. I had just graduated from Harvard College. I'd moved to New York City for my first job as a writer and editor at 17 Magazine. I had my first apartment, my first little green American Express card, and I had a very big secret. My secret was that I had this gun loaded with hollow point bullets pointed at my head by the man who I thought was my soulmate many, many times. The man who I loved more than anybody on earth held a gun to my head and threatened to kill me more times than I can even remember. I'm here to tell you the story of crazy love, a psychological trap disguised as love, one that millions of women and even a few men fall into every year. It may even be your story. I don't look like a typical domestic violence survivor. I have a BA in English from Harvard College, an MBA in marketing from Wharton Business School. I spent most of my career working for Fortune 500 companies, including Johnson & Johnson, Leo Burnett, and The Washington Post. I've been married for almost 20 years to my second husband, and we have 3 kids together. My dog is a black lab, and I drive a Honda Odyssey minivan. So my first message for you is that domestic violence happens to everyone. All races, all religions, all income and education levels. It's everywhere. And my second message is that everyone thinks domestic violence happens to women, that it's a women's issue. Not exactly. Over 85% of abusers are men. And domestic abuse happens only in intimate, interdependent, long-term relationships. In other words, in families. The last place we would want or expect to find violence, which is one reason domestic abuse is so confusing. I would have told you myself that I was the last person on earth who would stay with a man who beats me. But in fact, I was a very typical victim because of my age. I was 22. And in the United States, women ages 16 to 24 are three times as likely to be domestic violence victims as women of other ages. And over 500 women and girls this age are killed every year by abusive partners, boyfriends and husbands in the United States. I was also a very typical victim because I knew nothing about domestic violence, its warning signs or its patterns. I met Connor on a cold, rainy January night. He sat next to me on the New York City subway, and he started chatting me up. He told me two things. One was that he, too, had just graduated from an Ivy League school, and that he worked at a very impressive Wall Street bank. But what made the biggest impression on me that first meeting was that he was smart and funny, and he looked like a farm boy. He had these big cheeks, these big apple cheeks, and this wheat blonde hair, and he seemed so sweet. One of the smartest things Connor did from the very beginning was to create the illusion that I was the dominant partner in the relationship. He did this, especially at the beginning, by idolizing me. We started dating, and he loved everything about me, that I was smart, that I'd gone to Harvard, that I was passionate about helping teenage girls and my job. He wanted to know everything about my family and my childhood, my hopes and dreams. Connor believed in me as a writer and a woman in a way that no one else ever had. And he also created a magical atmosphere of trust between us by confessing his secret, which was that as a very young boy starting at age 4, he had been savagely and repeatedly physically abused by his stepfather. And the abuse had gotten so bad that he had had to drop out of school in 8th grade, even though he was very smart. And he'd spent almost 20 years rebuilding his life, which is why that Ivy League degree and the Wall Street job and his bright, shiny future meant so much to him. If you had told me that this smart, funny, sensitive man who adored me would one day dictate whether or not I wore makeup, how short my skirts were, where I lived, what jobs I took, who my friends were, and where I spent Christmas, I would have laughed at you. Because there was not a hint of violence or control or anger in Connor at the beginning. I didn't know that the first stage in any domestic violence relationship is to seduce and charm the victim. I also didn't know that the second step is to isolate the victim. Now, Connor did not come home one day and announce, you know, hey, all this Romeo and Juliet stuff has been great, but I need to move into the next phase where I isolate you and I abuse you. So I need to get you out of this apartment where the neighbors can hear you scream and out of this city where you have friends and family and coworkers who can see the bruises. Instead, Connor came home one Friday evening and he told me that he had quit his job that day. His dream job. And he said that he had quit his job because of me. Because I had made him feel so safe and loved that he didn't need to prove himself on Wall Street anymore. And he just wanted to get out of the city and away from his abusive, dysfunctional family and move to a tiny town in New England where he could start his life over with me by his side. Now, the last thing I wanted to do was leave New York and my dream job. But I thought you made sacrifices for your soulmate. So I agreed, and I quit my job, and Connor and I left Manhattan together. I had no idea I was falling into crazy love, that I was walking headfirst into a carefully laid physical, financial, and psychological trap. The next step in the domestic violence pattern is to introduce the threat of violence and see how she reacts. And here's where those guns come in. As soon as we moved to New England, you know that place where Connor was supposed to feel so safe? He bought 3 guns. He kept one in the glove compartment of our car. He kept one under the pillows on our bed. And the third one he kept in his pocket at all times. And he said that he needed those guns because of the trauma he'd experienced as a young boy. He needed them to feel protected. But those guns were really a message for me. And even though he hadn't raised a hand to me, my life was already in grave danger every minute of every day. Connor first physically attacked me 5 days before our wedding. It was 7 a.m. I still had on my nightgown. I was working on my computer trying to finish a freelance writing assignment, and I got frustrated. And Connor used my anger as an excuse to put both of his hands around my neck and to squeeze so tightly that I could not breathe or scream. And he used the chokehold to hit my head repeatedly against the wall. 5 days later, the 10 bruises on my neck had just faded, and I put on my mother's wedding dress, and I married him. Despite what had happened, I was sure we were going to live happily ever after, because I loved him, and he loved me so much. And he was very, very sorry. He had just been really stressed out by the wedding and by becoming a family with me. It was an isolated incident, and he was never going to hurt me again. It happened twice more on the honeymoon. The first time, I was driving to find a secret beach, and I got lost. And he punched me in the side of my head so hard that the other side of my head repeatedly hit the driver's side window. And then a few days later, driving home from our honeymoon, he got frustrated by traffic, and he threw a cold Big Mac in my face. Connor proceeded to beat me once or twice a week for the next 2.5 years of our marriage. I was mistaken in thinking that I was unique and alone in this situation. 1 in 3 American women experiences domestic violence or stalking at some point in her life. And the CDC reports that 15 million children are abused every year. 15 million. So actually, I was in very good company. Back to my question. Why did I stay? The answer is easy. I didn't know he was abusing me. Even though he held those loaded guns to my head, pushed me downstairs, threatened to kill our dog, pulled the key out of the car ignition as I drove down the highway, poured coffee grinds on my head as I dressed for a job interview, I never once thought of myself as a battered wife. Instead, I was a very strong woman in love with a deeply troubled man, and I was the only person on earth who could help Connor face his demons. The other question everybody asks is, why doesn't she just leave? Why didn't I walk out? I could have left any time. To me, this is the saddest and most painful question that people ask, because we victims know something you usually don't. It's incredibly dangerous to leave an abuser, because the final step in the domestic violence pattern is kill her. Over 70% of domestic violence murders happen after the victim has ended the relationship, after she's gotten out, because then the abuser has nothing left to lose. Other outcomes include long-term stalking, even after the abuser remarries, denial of financial resources, and manipulation of the family court system to terrify the victim and her children, who are regularly forced by family court judges to spend unsupervised time with the man who beat their mother. And still we ask, why doesn't she just leave? I was able to leave because of one final sadistic beating that broke through my denial. I realized that the man who I loved so much was going to kill me if I let him. So I broke the silence. I told everyone. The police, my neighbors, my friends and family, total strangers. And I'm here today because you all helped me. We tend to stereotype victims as grisly headlines, self-destructive women, damaged goods. The question, why does she stay, is code for some people for it's her fault for staying. As if victims intentionally choose to fall in love with men intent upon destroying us. But since publishing Crazy Love, I have heard hundreds of stories from men and women who also got out, who learned an invaluable life lesson from what happened, and who rebuilt lives, joyous, happy lives, as employees, wives, and mothers, lives completely free of violence, like me. Because it turns out that I'm actually a very typical domestic violence victim and a typical domestic violence survivor. I remarried a kind and gentle man. We have those three kids. I have that black lab, and I have that minivan. What I will never have again, ever, is a loaded gun held to my head by someone who says that he loves me. Now, right now, maybe you're thinking, wow, this is fascinating. Or, wow, how stupid was she? But this whole time, I've actually been talking about you. I promise you, there are several people listening to me right now who are currently being abused, or who were abused as children, or who are abusers themselves. Abuse could be affecting your daughter, your sister, your best friend right now. I was able to end my own crazy love story by breaking the silence. I'm still breaking the silence today. It's my way of helping other victims. And it's my final request of you. Talk about what you heard here. Abuse thrives only in silence. You have the power to end domestic violence simply by shining a spotlight on it. We victims need everyone. We need every one of you to understand the secrets of domestic violence. Show abuse the light of day by talking about it with your children, your coworkers, your friends and family. Recast survivors as wonderful, lovable people with full futures. Recognize the early signs of violence and conscientiously intervene, de-escalate it, show victims a safe way out. Together, we can make our beds, our dinner tables, and our families the safe and peaceful oases they should be. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
Okay, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was awesome. Awesome. The lecture on domestic violence. Okay, I'm looking at Huffington Post, And it's saying the president is not a child. A lot of people, Trump acts like a five-year-old child. But the Washington Post is begging to differ. They're saying a child, Trump is not a child because a child can learn. Wow. Ouch. Ouch. The president is not a child. He's something worse. That's their byline up here. And a picture of Trump meeting with the Russians. And he's always saying there's no collusion with the Russians, but there's always photographs of him with Russians. He's inviting the Russians to the White House, you know. And no, I'm not collusion with the Russians, but they have been at the White House and they're coming back. Okay, so it's a lot of wheels turning in this. A lot of some people are reporting that Trump, one of the House members, Senate members, said that Trump was being paid by the Russians. I believe it, but there's no proof. But you know, watching and studying and breaking down Trump, that's probably something he would do. Anyway, it says that we were wrong. It turns out anyone cannot be president. Anyone can be elected president, any man that is, but not anyone can be president. They're talking about Trump. After the careless, boastful revelations of his great intelligence to Russia, the firing of the FBI director, the new allegations that he asked James B. Comey, the FBI director, to let this Michael Flynn investigation go, and the months of conducting himself without any curiosity, reverence for history, or ability to avoid mistakes, many columnists lately have been calling the President Trump a child, of course, or a bull with a china shop. Or a bull in a china shop. That is, I think, unfair. I think it's unfair to children and to the bulls. Bulls have done a good job running Wall Street. Something children are not cruel on purpose, okay? Children can sit still, okay, and often often unable to stick their feet in their mouths like Trump does. And sometimes we'll let you get more ice cream than they get, okay? But they're saying, basically it's saying that don't do that to children, saying that Trump acts like a small child because he acts worse than a small child. But he's not going to admit it. He does puts his foot in his mouth every time he opens it. And during these investigations, it appears to me and a lot of other people that Trump is just as guilty as hell. He's as guilty because, like I said earlier, if I was his lawyer, and I'm pretty sure his lawyers are in flux with this guy, because if he's found to be guilty, he's going to be impeached, and his lawyers are going to have to try to defend him in every aspect. But, you know, one of the things they don't want their clients doing is going around blabbing everything that they know to the public. I mean, that's not good. That's not a good defense. You know, if you're blabbing everything out to the public, the lawyer will have nothing to basically to try and defend you on it, because you've just what is that word? You just I can't think of it right now, but anyway, he just condemned himself in the public, and Trump cannot keep his damn mouth shut for nothing. Oh, that was another bad word. He just cannot keep his mouth shut. I'm not going by what other people say, even though they're correct. But he has to stop being a blabbermouth. I mean, this is not going to work well if he has to go to a court of law to defend himself against these allegations of corruption. And I can say right now, I don't think they're allegations. I mean, the way this guy has been going around blabbing and And if you know Trump like I know Trump, then, you know, he's probably guilty of all of this crap. But they want concrete. But I understand that they want concrete proof, you know. All right. So it's 7:18 p.m. straight up in the city of Chicago. My name is George Wilder. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, where I'm broadcasting out of the city of Chicago in my studio. Wonderful studio near the lake. There's a great big old window in front of me. And it's going to rain, they say. The temperature is going to drop. And we should all get away from the windows because who knows, a tornado could come by. And yeah, the weather is weird. The weather's strange. And this is Chicago and some other areas in the of the United States. And I want to say wherever you are in the world, be careful. If you're having bad weather where you are, you know what to do. You can listen to your weather service and they'll tell you the right things to do. And if you don't know, then you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Get somewhere safe. The George Wilder Jr. Show, get somewhere safe. You know, you want to keep yourself safe. I know I am. All righty. Thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We have about 7:19. All right, about 10 more minutes left into the show. And we're going to do this one on Kelly Conway. You know, I haven't seen Kellyanne Conway. I think about 2 or 3 days ago, I read that she had canceled her appearance on, I believe, on Fox. She canceled it. The minute she heard, some people say the minute that she heard that there was a special prosecutor that had been appointed to look into the investigations into Trump and Russia, because Trump fired the other director because he wouldn't drop it. And I think he's trying to interfere with this special prosecutor. Another thing, Robert Ailes died, the guy who molded Fox News, as if we care, right? He gave us Hannity. Bill O'Reilly, give me a break. All right. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are going to do this one on Kelly Conway. If you don't know who Kellyanne Conway is, If you don't know who Kellyanne Conway is, this should tell you.
During an interview with Politico that was posted online this week, White House advisor, White House aide, whatever you want to call her, White House spokesperson maybe, Kellyanne Conway, took a shot at her critics once again. She told Politico that her critics were, quote, unhappy people with poison keyboards. I guess what she's trying to say is that they're a bunch of internet trolls going out there just saying mean old things to Kellyanne, who really isn't doing anything wrong. She doesn't understand why people are being so mean and horrible to her these days. Now, according to this interview that she gave with Politico, she had explained to her children that, yeah, look, mommy's going to be doing this thing. People are going to come at her. It's going to be, you know, pretty ugly sometimes, but just deal with it. To be honest, that is a very good thing to tell your children. Yeah, when you're in the public spotlight, there's going to be the naysayers. But if she took the time to explain that to her children, maybe she should have taken the time to explain to her children that, hey, listen, mommy's going to have to go on TV and lie through her teeth to the American public about things that never happened. She is the one who came up with the term alternative facts. She is the one who invented the Bowling Green massacre that never happened. So I understand nobody likes to get criticized. But Kellyanne, you're inviting this on yourself. The people who criticize you, who call you out, are not unhappy people. I can tell you firsthand, I'm a very happy person. I love my life right now. But I will continue to criticize you anytime you feel the need to go on television and lie to the American public on behalf of Donald Trump. Anytime you make up a fake terrorist attack, we're going to be there, as will everybody else online. And it's not because we just dislike you. It's because we don't want you to continue to dumb down the United States. This is our civic duty, to hold you and everyone else in your White House accountable. So you may think it's fine to go out there and give these interviews and attack the people who you claim are attacking you. But the truth is, all we're doing is trying to hold you accountable and, to be honest, try to undo some of the damage that you're inflicting on the public today. There are Republicans out there in the United States today who, honest to God, believe that the Bowling Green Massacre was a thing, that it happened, that it was carried out by Iraqi immigrants, and that U.S. citizens died as a result of it. And that's all on you, Kellyanne. You're poisoning the public discourse. It's not the people who dislike you. They don't have the problems. You do. And you need to learn, and you need to take the time to teach your children that when you screw up, you do get held accountable. When you lie to hundreds of millions of people, they're going to come after you. And the only way you can make it right is to go out and apologize and try to do the right thing from that point forward. That's what you need to learn. But honestly, I don't think you ever will. You're very happy being a stooge for Donald Trump. You have no problem going out in the media and just literally making things up. It must be nice to live in a world where you don't have to bother with things like research. You can just immediately go out there, say whatever you want. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. You don't care. You just move on to the next interview. While the rest of...
All righty. All righty. It is 6... It is 7:24 p.m. straight up Chicago Central Standard Time. And it is Thursday, folks. We're going to be off the air for... We're on the air Monday through Thursday, and we're off Friday, Saturday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we'll be right back here Monday, as always. As always. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And it's been something. Does anyone in the Trump White House have credibility? From my standpoint, no. No, they do not. No, they do not. Because once Trump is gone, that White House is going to be cleaned out. And a lot of those folks in the White House, they don't realize that the White House in Washington, D.C. belongs to the people of the United States. They're just borrowing it for a short time. Trump, someone called Trump the head gangster, relating to the Godfather, the Godfather, and his thugs all around in the White House. You know, I envisioned that a few months ago, and it comes down to that: gangsters in the White House, people in the White House, like Don Corleone, you know, Marlon Brando, Al Pacino, the Godfather, you know. Type people in the White House. And it's true. I mean, that this is why we have all the corruption. This is why we have all the scandals. We got people in the White House who are just questionable type people. You know, Donald Trump once said if he went out and shot somebody, he still would have his people would still vote for him. I mean, if that's not a gangster, I don't know what is. You know, so he he's the Marlon Brando character, Don Corleone. All right, and who is who you think is Al Pacino's character? I don't know. Jim Bannon. Who knows? Regis Philbus. You know. So who do you think is the James Caan character in the White House? All of this stuff is just speculation, fun, and it could be real, though, folks. It could be real. And like I've said before, you never know what's going to come out of this White House. Every day there's something new. Oh, yeah, Trump has, he's going to be going abroad, and everybody's got their fingers crossed. They say, wow, I hope this guy don't go over here and embarrass our country. I'm with you. I'm hoping he doesn't go abroad and embarrass our country. We'll know by Monday. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I love you out there. Don't worry about it. I just love you out there. And I love that you love the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Mm-hmm.
crisis if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us all.
Thank everybody for tuning in all week. Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio in my studio. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. And we're going into the weekend, and I hope you have a great weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.